very low concentrations indeed. The toxicity has been around for a long time. The Greeks knew about it back in 300 BC, so he mentioned lead poisoning Hippocrates. Unfortunately, the Romans didn't cotton on. The Romans then liked the rough reds that they used to find in Italy way back when to be a little bit sweeter. So what they did is they found that there was a lead salt that sweetened up their rough reds pretty well. And so they took lots of it. So typically the bones of the Romans then have 100 times your contemporary value of lead present in them, which means that that was actually shortening their lifespan pretty dramatically. It's a cumulative poison, so it resides then primarily in the bone, where it's remobilized. So once you take it in, then there's a decent half-life, 20 years in adults before elimination. The average daily intake then, which is setting the amounts that you can take in and dispose of, in terms of micrograms, are very small. Once in there, if you exceed the removal capacity that you've got, then the lead will bind strongly to amino acids, hemoglobin, RNA, and DNA. So it's a very strong binder as a metal. After that, the sort of damage that you're going to get, the bones then are responsible for the synthesis of red blood and cells. The indication here then that your lead is going to bind to hemoglobin means that you're going to interfere then with the heme synthesis at the outset. The other effects that are produced, we get brain damage due to lead. Now, the form of lead that's present in this case then is inorganic lead that's floating around in the blood. And there are a whole suite of other things that lead has been shown to be involved with. Now, as a teratogenic compound, there are sort of major issues in the news last year about Mount Isa and the lead pollution that was going on around there and finding lead in kids. This has been a pretty bad indicator because lead is actually more problematic for children than it is for adults, and that's why they get pretty concerned.